I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And while you're doing that, I'll let everyone know if you're new to Whispering Pines Church, we practice open communion. If you know Jesus, please join us in remembering his crucifixion. Verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" When we think about the broken body of Christ, we always think about his the whipping he had, the carrying the cross, the crucifixion, and that's really what we're supposed to do. Communion, we remember that, and that's one of the greatest things we can do in our Christian walk, or most beneficial, let's say that, is to meditate on the sufferings of Christ. Just to picture ourselves right there, not like some of them who were far away, not like the disciples, who many didn't even show up, but get close. To get close and to really look at Jesus on the cross. And it's a blessed thing. And when we see him on the cross, we see shame. We see the shame. We see his, they'll never show it, which is appropriate, but his nakedness. His nakedness. We see the wounds, pieces of flesh hanging from him from the whipping. We see patches on his face, all bloody from they pulled his beard out. We see spit on his face because many Roman soldiers spit on him. And we hear the taunts of those calling him just a man, not a savior. A false Messiah. And we see that shame as we get close. And that's our shame. In Hebrews it says, everything is naked and open before the Lord. Everything. God sees everything. Sees everything in our life. And the shame that Jesus bore on the cross, that's our shame that he took for us. There will be a day when heaven and earth will flee from the great throne of judgment. And at that throne, every created creature, every living being, whether it's man, woman, angel, will be standing before the throne of judgment, and Jesus will pronounce judgment. The Father has given all things into his hands and has given the judgment into Jesus' hand. That will be a day like no other. That is the great day the Bible talks about. The day of God's wrath. The day of God's wrath. But here at the cross we see Jesus taking that for us. Taking our just reward for our rebellion. Because we're all in that crowd and we picked Barabbas. We denied Jesus. We said we will not have this man reign over us. We want this man. We want the destroyer, the thief, the robber. We want him. We want him. Barabbas was a type of Satan. He was actually a type of self. We wanted to reign on that throne. We did not want Jesus to reign over us. And in that 6 hours of suffering at noon, darkness came over all the land where God actually imputed our sin onto his only begotten son, his beloved. And at that time, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he took on then the punishment that we deserved in hell. Remember Cain in Genesis 4:13. Cain said, "My punishment is more than I can bear." He says he had to be away from the presence of God. And Jesus said in John 19:28, "I thirst." We remember Lazarus, the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, how the rich man was in agony in the flames. And said, "My tongue is in agony in this flames." He just wanted one drop of water. And he could not have it. And that was Jesus for us on the cross. He thirsted. He took our punishment. The shame, the abandonment by God that he felt, the thirst that he had, he took it all for us. And it showed us how holy God is. How holy a God is. That's how God hates sin. Even the smallest sin in our life. That's how God feels about sin. Look at the wrath he poured out on Jesus in our place. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says that those who are punished will suffer everlasting destruction. And that doesn't mean that they're annihilated, as some like to claim that want to do away with hell. But it means the loss of everything that is good. That's what we would have in hell. The knowledge that never anything good will ever happen to us ever again. Ever. What hopelessness. And all this poured out on Jesus for our place. That is his body broken. So we move to chapter 25. In the same way also he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We're so grateful to the blood, for the blood. The blood allows us to draw near to God. And James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We can't do that without the blood. When heaven's roll call is made, everyone in the book of life will have one thing in common. They'll have the blood. Just like the destroyer came over Israel in Egypt, if you did not have the blood on your doorpost, you were dead. So it is with the saints in heaven. We will all have the blood of the everlasting covenant. The power of that blood will never fade. It will always be precious to us. 1 Peter 2:19, the precious blood of Christ. So we have this wonderful story of a couple British soldiers on the citadel of Gibraltar. Gibraltar, the big rock. And long passages were made into that rock. And you could hear somebody from a long ways away and never see them. One night, two sentinels were standing guard. One far away from the other, totally unaware of each other's presence. And one of them was completely struggling inside. He felt he was unable to reconcile his life with God. He knew he sinned, but he knew God punished sinners, and he did not know how he was ever going to be reconciled to God. And he was in anguish. He was totally despondent. He was in complete despair. He didn't know what he was going to do. He knew he couldn't get right with God. There's nothing he could do. And on the other end, far away, was a Christian meditating on that word from Peter called, that he was meditating, the precious blood of Christ, over and over in his mind. What does that mean for me? What great rewards? What did Jesus have to pay for me to have that precious blood? And how thankful he was. And he's meditating over and over. And all of a sudden an officer comes up and asks him for the password. And he goes, the precious blood of Christ. And then he caught himself and gave him the password. But right when he said that, way far away, at that other entrance, that sentinel that was struggling with, how do I get myself reconciled to God? He heard those words, the precious blood of Christ. And right there, God gave him the faith to believe in Jesus. And he knew all he needed was the precious blood of Christ. And he was saved. And not only that, God used him to translate the Hindu religion, the Bible, into the Hindu language later on. So God, a chosen vessel of God, the precious blood of Christ. It's how we draw near to God. It saves us from that wrath to come that we talked about previously. Romans 5:9, declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved through him from wrath. So I'd like us just to meditate on that, the power of the precious blood of Christ and the broken body of Jesus. If the servant team would come forward. Thank you. Given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's now drink. Father, we are so grateful that you provided a substitute in our place, for we deserve your wrath. We deserve your righteous indignation, your just punishment for our sin. And you did not withhold that from your Son, your only begotten Son, your beloved Jesus. And we are so grateful this morning that you did that. We're so unworthy. So unworthy. But our hearts, because you have forgiven much, our hearts want to love you much and do love you. Help us to love you more. Reveal your Son Jesus to us, Father, more and more and more as in the days ahead. And out of gratitude, let us love you more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday.